Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this segment. It is our interview segment. It is from 8:30 to 9, as you know. The date today is the 7th of Rabi'ul Awal, 1446. We are going to be connecting with our guest, and that is Mufti Farhan Karani. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jee, alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Alhamdulillah. Weather has not been on our side these days. Cloudy, but we make sure that, you know, we're expecting some rain next week, inshallah. Countries around us, we're suffering with drought. You know, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Zambia. We don't have rain for years. The dams are dry, and animals are dying, and people require water. Nothing has been kind to us.
At least
we see clouds.
Good time. Gee, I saw, you know, last week they said in Namibia, they are, they don't, not slaughtering doesn't, just saying to the listeners, doesn't mean to, according to Islamic standards, but they call it culling. So they slaughtered over 80 elephants and over 700 wild animals just because they are suffering, as what Mufti Saab is saying now, the drought and all of this. This is in Namibia. So imagine that's the kind of conditions that they go, that we, surrounding areas. So we have to make so much of.
If you look at Eastern Cape, Western Cape, alhamdulillah, so much of rain there. And then you just cross the border in Namibia and it's drought. Allah Ta'ala Qudrat, one place, Allah Ta'ala showers his mercy, in another place, Allah Ta'ala takes his mercy away. But people don't, they don't, think that why is Allah Ta'ala withholding the rain? In some places, the ulama don't speak about the wrongs that people are doing. And so people are not making tawbah for the sins. That's why Allah Ta'ala withholds the rain. You know, for example, nothing zakat, Allah Ta'ala withholds the rain. People committing zina, Allah Ta'ala withholds the rain. So, and these things are happening in the communities. But the Malanas, the Alims are not speaking about it because they are scared, you know, lose their job. The committee members will tell them off. So you must only speak about Quran and Hadith. Don't speak about what we're doing. It's not your business. And so Allah Ta'ala was holding the ring, but it doesn't strike us. It doesn't strike us that, you know, we're doing something wrong because Allah Ta'ala is holding the ring. Allah Ta'ala is holding the Quran. It must make over and make istighfar. Allah Ta'ala will open the sky for you. The rain will fall. You'll get so much abundance of rain and fruits and vegetation and everything. And you'll increase in barakah and offspring and everything. Just have to make istighfar, make tawbah first. But the first step is you must acknowledge that I did wrong. If you don't acknowledge that you're doing wrong, then you're not going to make tawbah. So the first step is to acknowledge that you're doing something wrong. Then Allah Ta'ala will flood us with his rahmat.
And that makes so much of sense, Mufti Saab, because once, like this, yesterday we had the news that Mufti Muhammad Yasai Rahmatullah Ali had passed away. And you just tend to think that what contribution each and every person, Alim of Haq, the Muftis who are playing their roles in their particular, and then you start to think that in the world, we spoke about this a few weeks ago on air, we mentioned. And I will say it also to Mufti Saab that we've got friends in Dubai and that, so they move there and they say to us that, you know, in this organization that they're working, from CEO to sweeper, every single person is a Muslim. But when it comes to like months like Muharram, Rabiul Awal, they don't know what month it is. They don't, there's no concern. They don't know 10th of Muharram. They don't know what's important, what's... And 10th of Muharram, we don't say according to the Kufar Shia, we say according to our Ahlus Sunnah al-Jama'at, the importance of fasting and all of this. So I'm just clarifying that as well. But all these important days of the calendar, they don't know. They just know Ramadan, they know the two Eids, and basic, maybe sometimes the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. But other than that, they don't know much. And this is...
Somebody was telling me the weekend. He's a normal layman, the businessman. He's telling me, no, Marana, where are all the people hiding? What do you mean? say, you know, in just in the in Joburg South, there are hundreds of ulama, hundreds. I mean, every year there are Darul Uloom turning out ulama. And but where are they? We're supposed to be having programs every single night in every masjid. But why isn't it taking place?
Hmm.
And there are so many ulama in one area, you can get maybe 50 ulama.
Hmm.
But they are, you don't see them. You don't see them in a masjid. You don't see them on a giving talks, but where are they? So they are, Allah knows where they are, they're hiding away, but maybe they're hiding in businesses. And but they're not doing what the mandate is. And the work of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is to make Amar bin Ma'ruf Nahi Anil Munkar, to advise the people, give bayanat. But you don't see them.
And if we just ponder over this, what Mufti Zapi is saying now, in Egypt, if you take it many years back, Al-Azhar University, and then we had one student, and he was with us in our class, and from one of these countries, I'm not going to say where and all of this, but he used to be very, very particular about his dressing and all of this. And, you know, just to go, before he goes to class, there's inspections and all of that, so you have to wear your slit kurta, all of this. But before he goes to his boarding, he changes, because then he sees when is the time he can get away, so he'll dress up smart and, you know, walk. And we used to think that this is, maybe it's his temperament or whatever it is, put cream, everything. Afterwards, many years later, we left and everything. One of our colleagues in class, he said to me, you know that student, he was a spy. And I was shocked. I said, I didn't know that. He said, yes, he was a spy. One day he was sitting and they started speaking to him on the phone, and he figured, yo, this guy is, look what he is. And those were the words he used, he told me. And then he said, but he got influenced by Hadith, by Quran Sharif, and he wanted to get close to Islam. Closer, he was a Muslim, but maybe he fell in the wrong, Allah knows what kind of Muslim does that, but he wanted to change then. And when he wanted to change, they said to him, they gave him the instruction, okay, you can't be here now. You have to go to Al-Azhar University of Egypt. They say he went there for just three months. After that, his beard and everything went away. And many years back, that was a reputable university or a Islamic place to study. But if you're just pondering over what Mufti Sapi is saying, and that's now in our area, Egypt produced the best scholars, you could say, many years back. But now, what has happened to all of that? So, all this interfaith that they are teaching in Al-Azhar and promoting all of this here. In fact, they gave the instruction to build that in the UAE. But nonetheless, it is a strong reminder for me, for all of us, that we need to change. And it makes total sense when the ulama speak out. People get closer to Allah, and the birds, the fish in the ocean, all of this, they become happy because no punishment is going to come. And they also save them. So Mufti Saab, I think before I don't know if there's any comments on this, then we can move to our topic, inshallah.
Okay. I just make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that I couldn't go and study in Al-Azhar and Medina University. When I was thinking of doing the Alim course in it, my family was telling me, you must go study in Al-Azhar, go to Egypt, you must study in Egypt, and go study in Medina University, learn how to speak Arabic, and just live with the Arabs there. And I just make shukr now that I didn't do that day. And you're escaping all these harms in a day. Because, I mean, you go there, it's a beloved city of Rasulullah, Medina,
but
you go there, you go to Medina University, and then you just become a Salafi. Become a Salafi, and then from there you go and deviate further, become a Kufar also. And go to Medina University, you have a beard, everything, you come back with no beard. And get Qurra coming here, now in the week there's some Qurra swearing from Egypt. And they are Qurra. And they're supposed to understand what the Quran says, what the Hadith of Nabi Sassam say, but they don't have a beard. How can you go and listen to those kind of Qurra who don't even have beards? you don't resemble Rasulullah, but you want to read the Quran in a beautiful manner, and that it's a mockery. I mean, you're not fulfilling what Allah Ta'ala says, it's to follow His Nabi, but you're not following His Nabi, but you want to read Quran beautifully.
That's so important, Mufti Sahab, because that's exactly where we are. Someone sent, I saw in our group there, the Friends for Allah, Mulana Inayatullah, he sent this. Sunnah is the love of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shown in the way he liked to be loved. Bidah is the love of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, shown to him in a way that suits our own desires. So we claim we love, but we don't want to keep a beard. So what love is that then? Mufti Sahab, coming to our topic, and that is one of those disturbing scenes we discussed a little bit yesterday, also with the other ulama as well, the scourge of lesbianism and how brutal this is proving to be, even in our Islamic societies, which we didn't ever imagine.
My family showed me a post the other day. It posted on one of the ladies' groups. There's been, I think it's two girls. They got married. Sorry, the ceremony. Imagine, they got Muslim names. Muslim names. But they say they got married. I mean, in Islam, this is totally prohibited. In Islam, if a man has commits sodomy with another man, then the punishment for that is he must be stoned to death. It comes in a hadith, he must be stoned to death. Nowadays, we're finding that, ulama is saying, don't send your children, don't send your daughters to university. But you say, no, she needs an education. You know, she can't rely on her husband forever. No, what if she gets divorced? You want your daughter to get divorced, because you're even thinking that way, that no, she gets divorced. So you actually want her to get divorced. So it's then at university, you know, she needs some education, she will benefit the ummah, and she can't come with this flowery language also, you can't need advice also, no. The ummah also need doctors, they also need professionals and, you know, dentists and all that. So where are the ladies are going to go then? Okay. So now you're sending your daughter with that intention to the university, and then what happens? Then she becomes a lesbian, she loses her iman. I mean, that's the thing we're supposed to be holding on to, our iman. But first the iman goes, and then she becomes a lesbian. And we spoke about it before. The girl will go with her scarf nicely. Father thinks, mashallah, my daughter, she's wearing a scarf at least. You know, she's going to university, she's driving to work herself now. And, you know, she's going to be independent. And then it's when she reaches the university, her scarf is off, and even her, maybe she went with trousers or a long skirt, she gets it off also, because now she needs to blend in with her friends. The friends will say, oh, you're too conservative, or you're too religious, you can't hang out with us. So now she feels this peer pressure, and then she, but it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse to go the wrong way. So we have to first think that I'm a Muslim, and how can I do this here? And with my Muslim name, I'm getting married to another woman, another girl. I mean, it's so shameless. And this LGBTQ mindset is being impressed on our children's minds in school from the age of 6 and 7 years old, even before that. And nowadays, parents still give their children the tablets and the phones. And I'm surprised, even like 6 or 7 years old children, they got phones. They were the only iPads, and they can do whatever they want on there. And they're watching all these videos and cartoons, and all these things promote this lesbianism ideology and this LGBTQ ideology. That one cartoon character, a girl, is getting married to another cartoon character girl, and a boy getting married to a boy. So the children already, in their mind, that it's okay. I mean, because this character got married to that character, so what's wrong? This guy can do it, why can't I do it? So already destroying the children's mind by giving them these devices. You know, in other countries, they actually banning devices for children certain ages. They're not allowed to use these devices because it takes away their their free time, and it makes them scared. Like in the UK, there's a study that from the entire Europe, the children, the youth in the UK are the most, they have the most anxiety and the most, they are most scared. From entire Europe, the most scared children are those from the UK. Why? Because we're looking at what other children have on the internet, and then they can't have it, their parents can't afford it, and so they go into depression and things like that. So coming back to this point here, these two children, they got married to each other. Now you think, how did their parents allow it? I mean, their parents allowed it. And the parents were there for that ceremony, for that haram, the curse of Allah Ta'ala upon that whole celebration. And how can their parents allow it? And there was a fatwa issued from Darul Uloom Darbar this week. Anybody who thinks this is okay, anybody who thinks this is okay for a woman to marry a woman, a man to marry a man, and they sympathize with them, it's kufr. Totally, it's kufr.
True.
You cannot sympathize with them. You can't even put their heart as a reaction or thumbs up or any kind of emotion to in support of them. So that is the kufr. Because this is haram. And the person now who thinks that this is okay, no more Muslim. So our youth are losing the iman. In droves, our youth are losing the iman. You know, iman is so precious. And it's so easy to lose also. It's so easy to lose. It comes in a reading. The time will come. If you hold on to your iman, it's like holding a burning coal in your hand. And so, you know, all these ahadith, we read that in the morning, a person will be a Muslim. Evening is a kafir. Evening is a Muslim. And the morning is a kafir. And this is the times we're living in. It's scary time. How are we upbringing our children? What kind of education are we giving them? When we see billboards, you know, it's so disgusting. You know, when you drive on a highway, all these, you know, these green billboards you find, the new insurance, naked insurance.
Gee.
You know, the statements they put on these boards, the statements, I mean, it's okay to be naked in the Steve got naked in the mall. Wow. I mean, like, what are they even impressing on the children's minds? I mean, the children read all these things. So the child doesn't understand that naked is insurance. So he's got naked insurance in the mall. They don't understand that. Now, what do they understand? That it's okay to do that. I mean, how do we even teach our children? The child will ask, but what is that there? What are you saying there? What do you even tell them? Like, how? You can't lie to them. Now, you have to teach them that, no, this is not okay to do this. And it's not okay to think like it. We are Muslims as human beings. We don't do things like this. So the society, the entire media is attacking us for these ideologies that it's okay for a woman to marry a woman, for a man to marry a man. And Nabi al-Islam cursed such people who do this sodomy. And I mean, in the hadith also is mentioned in the fifth kitab that you must kill the file and the mafuldi. The one who is doing it and the one who is upon it done. And if a person sodomizes the animal, and this is also the rampant now, people are doing that they sodomizing animals. And if you look at what happened in Palestine now, is Israelis, who the Israeli the Jew, he sodomized this man. And he has the right to do that. He has the right to do that. You know, in amongst the Israelis, there are so many gays and lesbians there. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's so much gays and lesbians. So now they are in it, but they want the entire world to be like them. Like the Quran says, that they will never be happy with you until you like them. So why is the Muslim world not doing this here? So they put their agents everywhere to corrupt the minds of our youth and corrupt the minds of even, small little children, masoom children, who is supposed to be protecting, is supposed to be giving the ta'aleem. And he said that you try your best when you're teaching students, you're teaching them the maktab, and you're giving them ta'aleem of Islam. And you know, when they go home, it's a total, a different atmosphere there. And you don't know what they do at home, what they're allowed to do. And you come to madrasa, you tell them, teach them about birthday is haram. Then when you go home, the parents organize everything, birthday parties, you know. And then one time we come to madrasa and you just be sunk. Or if you can hear a bird, but oh, I can't say that day. No, nothing. And like, what? What is it? No, nothing. So now, because they know that it's not right, but they still do it. Why? Because the parents allowed it. So, I mean, if our parents are pushing us in that direction where we allowed to just obey the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and then they send the child to madrasa, and he must get a daily ta'lim also. And you can't mix oil with water. Mm. You have a glass full of water, or you have a glass full of oil. We must decide what we want. We want Jannat or Jahannam for our children. And we are paving the path to our own children's destruction. So we have to speak to them. Now, if we see our child behaving in a weird manner, then we have to be worried. Who is his friend? And first of all, cut off all technology from him. And they will become rebellious, but we have to get the source and the root cause of the evil. Take him out of the schools, homeschool them. Homeschool them, teach them the proper ideologies of Islam, of the Sunnah, and how a Muslim is supposed to be thinking. These are the most important things in our life. Not to be what the trend, and nowadays you see that the children want to adopt the latest trend, latest handbags, latest shoes, latest watch. And the parents will go to great lengths to get it. They will put it on order, and when it comes out, the day it comes out, they will go and fetch it or courier it to them. And, I mean, why are we... Then we complain, my child, Manana, you must speak to my child, my son, my daughter, they don't listen to me. I talk to them and they don't listen to me. But you're the one who's destroying your own child. You're destroying your own child, and then you want the Manana to speak to your child. Your child is not going to listen to the Manana because he already knows what he wants in life, because the parents gave him the freedom, gave him the freedom to do whatever he wants, whatever she wants, and now you're crying that, my child wants to get married to this Hindu boy, or my daughter wants to get married to this girl. And it's too late now. It's too late. You lost your child. Instead of when you leave the world, your child is going to make dua for you. Your child is not going to make dua for you. But your child dua is not even accepted because your child is not a Muslim. And so we are losing our children. We are losing them. Like the West wants that our children must maintain their names. That's all they must maintain. They can have a name is Fatima. Fatima does not behave like a Muslim. Fatima does not believe as a Fatima Ranha believes. He doesn't adopt modesty and haya like as a Fatima wanted. She doesn't have the same beliefs as a Fatima Ranha. And she doesn't think like as a Fatima Ranha, but her name is Fatima. So the kuffar are happy. No, her name is Fatima. And another person, his name is Ibrahim, but he doesn't behave like Ibrahim alayhi salam. He doesn't have the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim wants to be Abraham. He wants to be gay, and so the parents say, "No, it's okay." Yes, or the other parents will start crying. Now, why my son is turning like this? What happened? What went wrong here? And when I was in madrasa, then one of my roommates, he told me something weird, and I was like so shocked out of my mind. He said, I don't know if I'm going to say it. He said he wants a piercing. He wants a piercing somewhere. And even worse, he said he wants to go and ask the Monana if it's okay. How are you crazy? I mean, how can you even go? It's even bad to think something like that, and then you want to go and ask the Monana if it's okay, if it's permissible. You got your answer. It's not permissible. It's wrong. It's haram. But Allah Shukar, I saw him now recently. He's okay. He's not on the wrong side of the fence. He's still on the right side. So our iman is very precious. We have to we have to keep our iman, we have to nourish our iman, we have to grow our iman, not extinguish our iman. The iman is a light, is a nur. We have to keep it burning. If we left and we off guard, then shaitan is going to extinguish the nur of iman. And then when we die, we're going to see the wrong side, see the punishment in the grave and in the qiyamah. So we have to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala keep us on the straight path. It's so important to read our five daily salah and read Quran and keep ta'alluq, keep friendship with the pious, with the ulama, with the sulaha, and sit in the bayanas of the righteous ulama, listen to the advices. That's how we're going to stay on track. Otherwise, we will lose our daughters and our sons to shaitan.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairan for your time. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa sallam.